culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
We do like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, don't we? Flying in here today after we had a great Thanksgiving yesterday at our house. Michelle cooked and fed and served 35 of our family. That's only just a part of them that were here. Up this morning, cleaning up upstairs. So if you hear some banging going on, you know exactly what's going on with Michelle. A wonderful Thanksgiving. It is my birthday. I'm 69. Next year at this time, I'll be 70. And I don't know about you guys. I look into the camera. I see myself. I'm ageless on the inside. Anybody feel like that? I feel like the same guy that I've been married. Michelle and I've been married 42 years. And I just yesterday, I looked at some pictures that we have in our bedroom from when we got married. Some pictures, you know. And I look at that person. I really don't even recognize that guy, you know, I really don't. And I look at her and how pretty she was. And I really don't, I said, like, yeah, that was what she looked like then. Really? That's what she looked like. And I thank Michelle every day for just maintaining her beauty. You know, that's not a slam on anybody. She's naturally pretty. She's naturally pretty, but she really takes care of herself. And I woke up this morning, rolled over and gave her a big old hug, told her, on my birthday, what a present. What a present. 42 years ago. We got married over, we had to schedule our wedding around the Ohio State-Michigan game, which, by the way, is coming up tomorrow. Because we knew that if we had it on a Saturday night, nobody, you know, Buckeyes were playing, nobody's going to come. So we scheduled our wedding. I think it was the day after Thanksgiving. I can't remember how it was. And so we got, you know, our anniversary, Thanksgiving, my birthday, they're all packed in there. Then I got our grandkids and kids' birthdays next week. And so we get into November, December. It's all vacations and holidays and Thanksgiving. And I behaved yesterday, had all the family here. I think everybody's nervous when they come to our family gathering. What's Uncle Dave going to do today? What's he going to do? And I want you to know other than the opening prayer, I don't think I hammered anybody about the gospel. Don't think so. Just tried to live it out in front of them. They know where I stand, and I think I know where they stand. And, you know, here's what's happened to us. Just let me roll here a second.
Just say it. You have to hear it, too, so it's on them.
Yeah, that's right. We really don't even know. I got a little article about it today, actually. We don't even really know what Christianity is anymore. We really don't. If you were to sit, I think I asked this a couple weeks ago, if you sit the average Christian down and ask him, what does it mean to be a Christian? Man, I think you would get a lot of different answers. Or even ask him this, how would you recognize a Christian by behavior? I think that would be a good one. And the Bible says that if you won't confess me before men, in other words, if you won't open your mouth, talk about me. I'm not talking bad about you. I'm not going to go talk to Dad on your behalf. If you won't confess me before men, I'm not going to confess you before my Father. It's pretty profound, isn't it? And why don't we confess him more? Martin Luther talked about professing meaning living it out. That's the hard part. It's easy to say, Jesus said you praise him with your lips, but your heart's far from me. So he says, talk's cheap, boys and girls, talk's cheap. This Christianity, this Jesus thing, this salvation thing, this walk an aisle and say a prayer thing, that talk is cheap, talk's cheap. I think I've shared with you, I can't tell you the last time that I tried to lead somebody in a sinner's prayer because I don't think it's biblical. Now, I don't want to get in a wrestling match with anybody here on my birthday. but I don't think it's biblical. I don't think you'll find anywhere in all the scriptures anybody having somebody repeat a prayer after him. I don't think you find it. He says to confess and believe. Confess and believe. Confess and believe. And, you know, that goes back to the Billy Graham days, and I think I've shared with many of you that I was saved, originally saved, I don't know, at a Billy Graham crusade in 1964 here in Columbus, Ohio. And I walked the aisle. My sister and I walked the aisle together. It's funny because she and I were the two that really had that call in our life probably at a younger age. She was Jane 6 years older than me. But we walked the aisle together, and I received Christ at the Billy Graham crusade in Jet Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. Walked away from there, went back to my little Catholic church, and I said, you know, it's like catching a fish. You hook a fish and you drag him up on the beach, and then you allow him to lie there and rot. And I came to Christ at what age would I have been? 64, 11 years old, 11 years old. And that seed that was planted in me, boy, it was a hard growing season. It was in there and it was alive, but I didn't really reap that seed till I was about 38 years old. 1988, is that right? Would that be 38, 36 years old? When that seed really, really sprang, really gave life. And it was amazing. It was like when Jesus Christ became real to me, I jokingly say, you've heard me say it before, it did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It was like the explosion of a tulip. Poof! I knew it at that moment. That I was, something about me had changed. I couldn't explain it. It took me quite a while, really, to try to explain it. And I remember going back to school the next day. I was a football coach at Heath High School here in Licking County. And I was a beer drinking, cussing, carousing, fun loving, church going, whatever you'd call me. I was never an adulterer. I never went out on my wife. I never, ever, ever, ever did that. I loved her and respected her far too much to ever do that. But I was a wicked churchgoer. And I remember I received Christ that night, walked the aisle, something happened, something exploded in me. I went home and I got up the next day and I went to school, back to my teaching job, and I was never more uncomfortable in my life because I knew something about me was different. And how do I say this? My morality antenna was more tuned. I found myself, I can't explain it. I found myself not wanting to talk about things that I'd spoken about before, make jokes maybe that I'd make before. I found myself, I'd hear that small, still voice saying, You guys ever hear that voice from the Lord? I heard that a lot, and I couldn't process it really. I didn't know what had happened to me. I tried to explain it to my good buddy who was saved. So I guess he kind of, Dave Klontz, I think he kind of understood, but I couldn't explain it to anybody else. And I immediately at that point, immediately began to pray for a new job. I said, Lord, I got to get out of here. Everywhere I go is me. The old me is everywhere I go in this building. Every time I walk into the locker room, the old me's, and Lord, I'm not that guy anymore. I need a new job. And he miraculously plucked me up. Oh, I got a long testimony. I'm not going to go into that this morning. Plucked me up and put me down in London, Ohio. And we went on the greatest 10-year run in football, probably in the history of London High School. And the Lord blessed everything we did. There was an open heaven above us. Till 1997, when we had a bad season, I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union for praying with our team. And it wasn't about praying with our team. It was about who got to be quarterback and who got to play and all that stuff that, you know. And when the ACLU sued me, it's kind of interesting. I had just a few months before that. Just bear with me a second. I'm going somewhere. I just a few months from that received a call from a school up in the Cleveland area, very, very exclusive, wealthy, Jewish school system that wanted me to come up and interview for a football coach. Big school. I was happy where I was, but you know, ladder success. So Michelle and I jumped up in our car and we drove up there and went through the interview process. And they took us out to eat. They wined and dined us and took us out to eat. And first time I ever saw escargot, which is what? What is that? Some type of squid or something? My wife ordered escargot. Escargot. My wife ordered it. I just ate a hamburger. I'm a hamburger French fries guy. Michelle's eating escargot. So I know she was won over, you know. I know she was. And so they extended the offer of the job. I said, geez, peasy. I said, yeah, can I have some time to think about it? Of course. So we went home we drove back that night. The next day we got up, Michelle and I used to go for walks back then, and got up and took a walk, and I'll never in my life forget it. We were walking down the road and we were talking. We were holding hands. How old would I have been then? 1998. So I'd have been old enough to know better, probably. And we were discussing the ins and outs and why the job would be a good job, a great education, a lot more money, yada yada yada. And I could take you right now and I could mark this spot. Whereas I was holding Michelle's hand, the Holy Spirit stopped me. And I stopped holding her hand. I was holding her hand and I stopped on the sidewalk. And the Holy Spirit said to me, as clear as anything, those of you who don't hear his voice, it's not audible. But he said to me, as clear as possible, can you be bought? And I knew right then I wasn't supposed to take the job. And I think what I would have missed out on had I followed the money. That it was just a few months later, I was sued by the ACLU, just a few months later. And all of this hell breaks out around me. And I'm here today because when I was walking down the street with my wife holding her hand, the Holy Spirit asked me if I could be bought.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit has reminded me of that. And I want all of you to know here on my 69th birthday, I still can't be bought.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
I want you to love me. I want you to support our ministry. I don't really care. I'm walking my walk. I'm following my call. At the end of this road, whatever that thing's in, I'll know I've been faithful. Isn't that really what it matters? I tell people I do it for the, I can be bought. I do it for the applause of two nail-scarred hands. So how do we get to the point in America today where we're so much of us not, just let me rant a minute. How do we become such sellouts? How did those of us to realize and understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid down his life for me? And now I feel no duty or responsibility to pay him back for anything. It was free. He gave it to me. It's freely given to me. He didn't really put any conditions on it when he gave it to me. He just gave it to me, just like he gave it to you. And here I sit in November 26, 2021, my 69th birthday. And my only regret is I wish I'd have started 30 years earlier. I wish I'd been all in for the Lord 30 years earlier. If I'd have known the impact that I could have had 30 years. It's all timing, right? It's all timing. But here we sit. My brother-in-law, Carl, was here. Carl's 84. Is that right, Michelle, I think? 84. So between Carl and I, even at 69, I'll be 70 next year, Larry. I'll be 70 years old next year. There's a great gulf even between me and Carl. Between 69 and 84. That's 15 years. I'm going to raise some hell in the next 15 years. Not R-A-Z-E, raise. Is that how you spell that? R-A-I-Z-E. I'm going to burn hell the next 15 years of my life or die trying. Because why? I'm all in. I'm all in.
Boom.
Are you?
Me too.
Folks, we got to go all in, folks. We got to go all in. Greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for our friends. We look around at this wicked Luciferian government that's ruling over us. That wicked Luciferian government that is legalizing everything that God hates. And those of us who carry the name of Christ sit around and watch it happen. Afraid to make our children mad or our brother mad or our sister mad or our cousin mad. Afraid to let them rule the day because they might be offended. Knowing that Jesus Christ himself was known as the rock of offense. And we've turned him into some long-haired hippie, Mr. Rogers freak. Just loves everybody and doesn't have any real principles. Just love, 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 compromise, compromise, accept, accept. Don't injure, don't wound, don't be mean. Golly. The times, they are a-changing, Bob Dylan sung to us. So I just say to all of you here, I'm in the 69th year of my life. I'm just popping the clutch. I'm just going, just getting ready to go. Hey, who knows what lies ahead? I mean, you could have your life so lined up. You could have the biggest retirement package, your mortgage all paid off. You got everything that you could ever want, man, and you are on cruise. And you're not going to say anything to anybody because you're not going to accept anybody. You're not going to rock the boat. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. You're going to show the love of Jesus. And then boom, one trip to the doctor and your whole life changes. Boom. You wake up one morning, you get the news nobody ever wants to hear, and your life is never the same. Because you see, our life's not our own. It's not. It's been bought with a price. And we have to make a decision whether or not we're going to be faithful to the one who purchased us. I often get in trouble because I tell people this. You know, the Bible supports slavery. Not one man being a lord over another doesn't support that. That's called, dare I say it, that's called Catholicism. Lord doesn't support that. He doesn't support that kind of stuff. No, no, no. But the Lord supports slavery. Apostle Paul said, I'm a bond servant. Huh? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not me. I don't live anymore. I belong to this other guy. He's my master. I'm his slave. And I'm going to go wherever he goes, tells me to go, and I'm going to say whatever he tells me to say, and I'm not going to compromise it, and I'm not going to love my neighbor more than I love him. I'm going to be faithful to him. I'm going to speak on behalf of him. And when he asks me to, I'm going to flip over tables on his behalf. That's the greatest form of love, you know. No man, greater love is no man than he would lay down his life for his friends. In other words, somebody's got to speak for those babies. Somebody's got to speak for those children that are being ravaged in our schools. Somebody's got to do it, man. Somebody's got to do it. Who's going to do it? Here I am, Lord. Send me, right? So I don't know where that came from this morning, other than I want you to know as I hit my 69th year, I'm an old guy. When people talk about old people, I'm one of them now. I have been for a bit. I say, oh, that old man, that's me. That's me. That's me. But see, that makes me dangerous because I ain't got nothing to lose. I already lost it all. Oh, I want to protect my wife. I don't want her to have to suffer. I don't want my kids. I don't care about my reputation. You kidding me? I was reading something yesterday. I'm about done. Hang on. I was reading something about Kyle Rittenhouse. And in the Kyle Rittenhouse article, they mentioned, what was his name? Trayvon Martin. And what was that guy's name? George Zimmerman. When's the last time you thought about George Zimmerman, who was railroaded by the media as well, right? Fame is fleeting. They call it infamous. Infamous, meaning famous for the wrong reasons. I want to be infamous in the eyes of the world. That's what I want to be. I want to be famous in the Faith Hall of Fame. Infamous in the eyes of the world. Oh, if we would get that attitude. If we would understand that all power has been given unto us, go into all the world. Flip over the tables that need to be flipped. Speak the truth where it needs to be spoken. Stand up when everybody else is sitting down. Let that be me, Lord. Let that be all of you guys as well. Come on in, Myra. Happy Thanksgiving, Myra. Good to hear you. I'm done. Myra, didn't hear you there. We lost her. Larry, come on in. There she is. Hey.
Good morning, Saints. Happy birthday, Coach.
Thanks.
And Brother Cray, thank you for the imprecatory prayer you sent me for home, family, and community. I do use it. Thank you so much. And I wanted to read Psalm 34:3. All glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Thank you.
Amen. How do you exalt his name? You go talk about it where they don't want to hear about it. That's where you go. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah. Hey, Coach. Man, I appreciate this morning so much. I'm hearing from your heart because those of us that love you as a brother by commandment, by golly, you know, we do it because we want to too, but we're commanded to love you. You're our brother, but it makes it so much easier when we know more about you.
Yeah, thanks.
But I do want to say one thing this morning that you repeated something that the satanic social clubs drilled into people's heads, and it's become almost automatic for everybody to repeat. And you repeated that there's no conditions. There's no conditions on Jesus's gift of his payment for our sins when we're in the world. There is a condition. We have to receive it. We have to confess him as the Lord and receive that, receive what he did for us. If there's no conditions, then everybody born on the face of the earth by woman is going to end up in heaven because he died for all. Okay. Mm. But he died for all to have the opportunity to meet his conditions. We have got to stop telling people there's no conditions because there are.
There are. That's that easy believism, I think, started by Billy Graham. I don't want to criticize Billy Graham. I mean, who am I to criticize him? But walk an aisle, say a prayer, go roll up on the shore and die, get hooked like an old fish and drug up there and think you're a Christian. The good news is people are already somewhat inoculated with Christianity. Even today, most people would consider themselves Christians, even though they're about as Christian as a poached egg. If they were to have to choose if the gun was put to their head and they were have to choose a faith, a religion, whatever, and their ability to be able to understand it, they would say they're Christian because they're raised in a Christian nation, right? They think that makes them Christian. Sort of like there's, am I going to say it? Yeah, okay, Lord, I'll say it. Sort of like being born in Israel, you think it makes you a Jew. It's sort of the same thing, right? Come on in, Reggie, then Silver.
Blessed birthday, Coach.
Thanks, dear.
You know, I know that transformation and that moment that something changes in you. Happened when I was about 26. And I've always been a fighter, but I started fighting for the Lord. And every day from then on, you know, of course you know this, you give yourself to the Lord and you mean it. It's not a word, it's you mean it. And I now understand, well, my transformation wasn't just internal, it was external. The Lord stripped me of everything. I was walking on top of the world. And so he does that to you. So those who truly want to follow him, they're frightened. And that's what St. Paul means when he says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, because if you're truly following the Lord, it is fearful, because each day that you say, today I'm serving you, you don't know what will come with that, but you're just willing to accept it. And you're so lonely.
It's like being a police officer, right? Every time you get that call over the airways, you gotta go. You don't know what you're going to, right?
Amen. Yeah.
You know, true. If it's a guy domestic, some guy with a gun, you don't know. You pull over a car, Chad pulls over a car, he doesn't know what's inside that car.
The worst part is you know what that is, that desire, that burning desire. And when you turn around, because you really think people think like you do and feel the same, and there's crickets, and it's really frightening. Not all, but there's very few people that know what that walk is.
Amen, buddy. Yes, sir. A little bit of fear scatters the sheep, that's for sure. Bless you, Reggie. I just checked my Bible. This is my original Bible. 1:28. Michelle, your birthday. 1:28:87. That's what's written in my Bible. Boy, did that day change me. Not as much as 1:29:87 when I had to get up and live with that salvation. That changed me more, but it happened at 1:28:87. Silver, come on in.
Good morning. Love you guys. I was going to say the one thing that we talk about when it comes to salvation that we always forget. I'm going to read two verses, Acts 2:37-38. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
We keep forgetting repentance.
And baptism.
Amen.
And baptism, Joe.
And baptism.
Amen.
And it is not something we can forget. It's got to be prior one, as far as I'm concerned. But people have to be pricked in their hearts, understand they messed up. Okay? And they better get right, because they're fixing to die.
Amen, brother. Hey, Joe, how about this, folks? How about this? How many times do the course of a day are you prompted to repent? Maybe it was something that happened 10 years ago. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it's, and it comes to your mind, say, oh, Lord, God, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We ought to live in an attitude of repentance. Not beating you over the head because you did bad. No. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I screwed that one up. Hey, forgive me, will you? Help me, man. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. Help me, will you? That's working out your salvation, I think, Joe. That's what I think it's about. Betty, come on in. And Jeff.
Good morning and happy birthday. We love you.
Thank you.
I was saved when I was 13, and I had a choice between suicide and being saved, and I gave my life to Lord. I tell you what, you changed drastically. But then you're thrown out in the pastor. So I want to thank you, Coach, because I had such an emptiness in me. And you come along and your group, and you have filled me. And I tell you what, Amen. It has really, really helped out. And it also Amen. Says, and I tell people this, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to the Father except through me. That Amen. Word except is the big key word. It doesn't say maybe tomorrow, maybe yesterday. Oh, we'll think about it. It says accept, period. There's no other way.
Brother, let me tell you something. He is the ultimate. There ain't, how do I say it, man? There ain't no wiggle room. There ain't no wiggle room with the Lord. You're either all in or you're not. He says, I wish you were hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to barf you. I'm going to barf you right out of your mouth, right out of my mouth. And you know when that happens? It happens in times of testing. Now it happens. Listen, there's two aspects going on here. I want us to think about this with our faith. Because there have been times in my life, excuse me, where my faith has carried me through things. Tough things happened, and my reliance and trust in the Lord carried me through. It was a faith and trust in the Lord is comforting. But there's the other side of it, where most of us struggle, I think. And that's the side of the commissioned officer part of it, where you're the guy on the scene, you're the cop on the scene that the Lord has called to come and bring what? Peace. You are the peacemaker, not the peacekeeper. And we are his representatives. And that trust and faith in Christ is the same trust and faith when you're down that lifts you up, that when trouble comes, propels you through. We can't separate these two. We can't separate those two things. And I think that one of the things that has ruined American Christianity more than anything is we have not taught Christian men to be brave. Christian men in particular. Christian women too, but Christian men, for the most part, aren't brave. And they're not brave because they haven't been taught to. We saw the bravery of Jesus. We understand the bravery of the disciples. We understand those who laid down their lives. We understand that. But we don't understand that that is commissioned to us just as much. Bravery is commissioned to us just as much as comfort.
Amen.
And that's why we're in the situation we're in. We're not brave. We are least like Jesus when we're cowardly. Can anybody think of one time he compromised and walked away? I can't think of one. He said what had to be said. And he took the consequences of it. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, just a little quick story. Yesterday, we got a family we've known for probably, I don't know, 25, 28 years. They're now living in Missouri. Four homeschooled kids. One's off and married just recently. The other just got served 4 years in the military, and the younger girls were here. They were all here. Dan and Tanya is their names. We just love them to death. They're like our kids. And we had no kids yesterday or grandkids on Thanksgiving Day. So about 4 or 5 o'clock yesterday, these family rolls up. Mary Jane didn't even know they were coming. No clue. I seen them 2 days ago at my car lot. I said, I won't tell her. They pulled up. She's like, who's here? I said, your kids. She's like, what? Looked out and she's like, who is it? Dan says, you don't know me. And I said, it's your kids. So as we're having a conversation in the living room, they're wanting to know all the updates on stuff going on. And they homeschooled all their kids. They're a good Christian family, just great family. And they're talking about getting to share the stories of different school board, the Capitol building, different things. And then they got on to the subject of stink bugs. They said, we don't have them in Missouri. And all of a sudden they're looking up on the wall. I showed them, they're like, their kids are like, what are stink bugs? I looked up and there is one that's been in this picture for at least, I don't know, 2 months. I don't know how it's still alive. It's in behind the glass on a picture. And guess what the picture is? It's a picture of Jesus hanging on the wall. The stink bug is trapped in it. They're looking at it like, how did a stink bug get in there? I said, it's saved. And they look like, what? And then the dad goes, oh, he started laughing. I said, yeah, there's a little Christian stink bug in there. He's saved. But, you know, they got ready to leave. And we're all standing around the kitchen. We're hugging him kids, hugging Dan, Tony. Dan looks at me, says, brother, he said, can you pray for my family? I said, anything specific or just prayer? He says, no, you just pray over us. So I got to pray over him. We hugged him and they're heading back to Missouri. You know what I mean? It was just a great day. True.
Praying over those stink bugs. Praying over those stink bugs. Come on in, Mike. Mike Heath, come on in. Mike, you got to unmute, bud.
Sorry, Coach. Can you hear me?
There, we got you.
I'm out moving firewood. But you triggered me with the thing about courage. 40 years as a Christian leader, and what I learned from that becoming was that I became a really good lobbyist, which meant what?
Compromise.
I felt like I could read the mind of my adversary. And I could, because I was the head of the Christian Civic League of Maine, not only could I read the mind of my adversary, but I could do it in Jesus' name, baby. And that's our problem, Coach. Christian men spend more time thinking that they are understanding the motives or the thoughts or the whatever of their spouse or of anybody, and anticipating that and then conditioning what they say based on that. This is why we loved Trump. Regardless of what you say about the guy, we got the sense from his tweets and whatever that he was speaking his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the source of his power. And it's still the source of his power. And it's the source of every single person in this huddle's power. Speak your mind publicly in Jesus' name. Thanks.
Boy, that's it, man. Yeah, and what's the promise? They're going to hate you. Right? They're going to hate you. You're going to be hated of all men. Why don't we get this? Why don't we get this? Why do we compromise and go out of our way to be kind and be? What is that all about? When he said Matthew 5, pull that up real quick, Jared, if you could. Hang on there, Leslie. I'll get you in here in a sec. Matthew chapter 5. Pretty sure that's where it is. I threw Jared a curveball there. I'm pitching today. It says, but verse 10, chapter 5, verse 10. I'll read it from the Bible. I don't know. Is it up on the screen? Jared, I'm frozen on my screen. Maybe you can help it so I can see the screen as well. Something's got to click over here. Maybe I just click this. Is that it? I just click that thing. There it does it.
Great.
Thanks, buddy. You got it up there. Blessed are the peacemakers. Again, not keepers, peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Daggone would that preach. Not going to heaven. It doesn't say blessed are they which are persecuted because they're going to heaven. It says, no, they're walking in. I felt that one. Ooh. Blessed are they which are persecuted for heaven's sakes, because they're walking in the authority of God. Do you see it? Do you see it? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're walking in an authority that is otherworldly. And blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely when you're doing it on behalf of me. Can't you see that? Why are we so bending over backwards to show the love of Jesus? Folks, the truth is the love. Nobody wants to be confronted or challenged about their faith walk. Nobody likes it. They call you judgmental. Jesus just said, they're going to get mad at you, dude. You got the authority of heaven walking with you, and they're going to persecute you, and you're going to be reviled, and you're going to be hated of all men. You're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad.
It changes great, your life.
For great is your reward. See, it says in heaven, I think that would be kingdom. For great is your reward in the kingdom. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Neither men put a bush, light a candle. Neither do men get saved and hide it in the church or hide it in their home or hide it in their prayer closet. No. They get a sign, they go out and stand on the street corner. They put a megaphone and they preach it. Because why? That light shines into the whole house. Verse 16, Jared, scroll down. Think not. I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't come to do that. Oh, I've left out the line. Let your light so shine before men. They see your good works and glorify your Father, which is head of the kingdom. He's the head of the kingdom. Wow. For how about this one? 19. For whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom. But whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed those fake pastors, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. How many times did he mention kingdom of heaven there? Wow. Come on in. Mike, did you not take your hand down? Leslie, come on in, Leslie, then Clay.
Yeah. Boy, you just go deep on stuff, and then I just have something simple to say. When I was a senior in high school, and a lady or a girl sat down at lunch before we graduated, she sat down at lunch and showed me the four spiritual laws. I prayed the prayer. I cried, but I didn't know what I had done. I immediately lost my job. I was fired from my job the next day and got hired by A&W Root Beer. I was a cook, and they
loved A&W root beer.
They made their own there, and they took me on. 6 months later, they said we go on a trip from December to March because it was in Minnesota, and we closed down the restaurant. We take one of our workers with us. If you'd like to go, we'd like to take you. You just save up $250. I'll be 70 next month. So I thought about it and asked my mom because I was going to be 19 pretty soon. And she gave me permission. I got down there. They took us to California and then down to Florida. Took me to church there, which I didn't want to go, but they said guys were there that wanted to meet me. So I went and I prayed a prayer. But I got saved because the minister talked about what it was. And I thought, I've never done this before. And you know, it's a coach, it's a plumb line. I was changed. So fast forward to last year, I'm driving down the road. We're looking for a house in a rural part of Alabama. And I stop, there's this lady getting her dog off the side of the road, and I stop and I talk to her and I say, you know, am I going to see you in heaven? Do you have eternal life? And she starts giving me some religious stuff. And then I start asking questions. She said, don't you know you're not supposed to talk about religion and politics? And I said, who said that? And just laughed. And, you know, she had settled in her mind what she believed. And there is no more me saying anything. But it truly is the power of God working on us.
Amen.
You know, it's not a faith and works thing. It's a given. If we have faith, we will have works.
We will. That's right. That's right. And listen, the devil don't need any more advocates, folks. He got plenty. We don't need to be one for him anymore. Speak the truth. Clay. Elvis, I mean, Clay sent me a happy birthday song singing like Elvis today. So, thanks, Clay.
You're welcome, Coach. You know, when you put a team on the field, that you got to put your players that are adequate and they're going to follow directions, and you can't be scared to tell them what they need to do, and you can't worry about whether or not it's going to hurt their feelings. And I'm thankful that we got a Heavenly Father that's coaching us and will talk straight to us without being scared to hurt our feelings. If you don't mind, I'll read Matthew 5, verse 13. We skipped over that one. It says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
In other words, how can you make it salty again, right?
That's right. Yep. And here's where he's not scared to hurt our feelings. It says, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. He's saying, if you don't stay salty and do what you're supposed to do, you're good for nothing. Now, I don't want to be good for nothing, and I don't want to be cast out and trodden underfoot.
Well, I want to show you something else in there that leave that up if you could real quick. Folks, this is powerfully transformative when I read this the way it's written. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his, salt ain't a he. Salt isn't it. Except it isn't, is it? Because he just called you salt. Said you're the salt of the earth. And now that you're salt of the earth, if you lose your savor, dude, you're good for nothing. He actually calls you salt. Because in his kingdom, you're a salt shaker. That's what you're supposed to be. That's your job description. Well, thanks, Claudine. Somebody else come on in. I got 16 things here on my list to talk about today.
Hey, I can tell you one thing for sure.
Yeah.
Is all of this really hits home for me. And finally, maybe a couple of weeks ago, it occurred to me that if you're flying high and you're not over the target, nobody's going to shoot at you. But if you're over the target, you're going to catch flack.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it. So it occurred to me also that if I'm catching flack, I should be rejoicing because I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. And
he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Isn't that what it says?
And it's tough. I mean, it's tough to maintain that attitude. And you suddenly get flack from where you didn't expect it. And when that happens, it's really a wake-up call. But it works. And
yep.
I'm just thankful for this group and your ministry because a lot of these things have been awakened in me that weren't. And
great. Amen.
You know, a lifetime of going to church didn't spur these thoughts and ideas in my mind. And now it does. So it's phenomenal. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord has finally stirred in me.
Amen.
These thoughts of be thankful when you're criticized, be thankful. Yes. When people hate you and revile you. And all you have to do is walk in a room and there you are.
There you are, brother. And you know what's going to happen? Here's what I say. I'm going to walk into those pearly gates, and Jesus himself's going to come over and he's going to put me in the headlock and he's going to give me a noogie. Oh, I love what you did down there.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, I love the way you played. That's what I think. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah, that's a great picture, Coach. First of all, happy birthday, Coach.
Thanks, man.
And just, you know, you have changed. I'm so thankful for this ministry, you, the people in it.
Amen.
One thing I love about a coach is that we go deep. Mm-hmm. We don't go deep in the church, but we go deep here. And the wisdom from those that are participate.
Yes.
You know, I just learned so much. And I'm just so thankful, Coach, that you have this format where we can all participate. And because, as you say, our 2 cents is worth 2 cents here.
It is 2 cents. And if the 2 cents was given to you by the Lord and he wanted you to spend it?
Right? Amen, brother. Hey, thank you so much, Coach, for all you do. Thank you.
Amen.
You and Michelle.
Just doing my job, babe. Just doing my job. Randy, come on in.
I love to hear Glenn, Coach. He always brings meat to the table. I appreciate him. So many of you. But
yeah.
Yesterday, Coach, before I got up for Thanksgiving in the night sometime, I woke up and I was just pondering, you know, I'm going to have a big group here. I can't spend an hour with every one of them. What do I want to just touch them somehow with the Holy Spirit. So I knew he kind of gave me a few thing or two to say, Coach, when we say the blessing, you know, grace over the meal. So I just pondered a little bit. There come the opportunity, and he just opens the door. It's like, you know, when you walk down those stairs, you know it's time to play the game, you know. It's,
mm-hmm.
And you get something because you're open. You're ready to hear, and you're ready to do. But so, Coach, I prayed, you know, and it was good. God gave me a really good – it wasn't just a little 5-second deal. It was a couple of minutes, you know. But all of them came to me afterwards and just said, man, that prayer, it did something. It did something. So, Coach, you know, we can't touch everybody. That's my point, is we can't touch everybody. We try, but one-on-one, you know, it's all about us being open and giving of ourselves every day. That's who we are in Christ. Jesus gave every day. It wasn't just, you know, it wasn't when he wanted to. He said, I don't do anything unless I hear the Father speak it to me. So that's how we need to walk this thing out, Coach, is just is to stay real and to stay responsible with what he's given us. And then if we are, we will be the salt. We will be his truth everywhere we go. So,
well, you are the salt. It's a matter of whether or not you'll get out of the salt shaker, Randy, when it comes right down to it, right? Hey, real quickly, just before I bring in here Naomi, Jared, bring up Matthew 13 for me, would you please? Go ahead. Come on in, Naomi.
So I really struggle with, you know, I speak out, but what I struggle with is the kickback that I get. And I speak out about a lot of things that people don't want to hear. But the kickback, I really struggle with that. But something that God has brought to my mind is that the last thing to grow on a fruit tree is the fruit. And I keep thinking about that, but it's hard for me to be patient. I want to see the fruit right now. I want to see the fruit right now. That's but right. I have to keep thinking about that. It's the last thing to grow on the fruit tree is the fruit.
Amen on that one, folks. And by the way, the Bible tells us that one man plants and another man waters. Right? Listen, you don't have to get people saved. You got to plant. I'm going to say that again. Quit trying to get people saved. Plant. And I'm reminded, I'll give credit to Larry. Larry opened my eyes to this. We're Matthew 13, and we talked about the parable of the sower. In fact, you can. I just Googled it as I was talking to you because I didn't know where it was. Parable of the sower. The parable isn't so much about the seed, although it is. It's a parable of me and you and what we do with the seed and what our response is supposed to be. And a great multitude were gathered together in him so that he went into his ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. What would be the fowls? What would those be? Threw the seed out, birds came and eat them. Some fell in stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. There wasn't any root to it. And withered away. That was me. Billy Graham drug me up on the beach and let me get scorched. Had no roots to me. And some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them off. Maybe that was what it was. Maybe I fell in the middle of the thorns. But other found a good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And then he said, you get what I'm telling you? And you know, we don't. We don't get what he's telling us. Part of what he's telling us is be careful where you throw the seed. Sometimes you got to walk away. Sometimes you just come by and water. Quit always trying to bring the plant to fruition. Plant it. Let somebody else rain on it and move on. I think it's a great lesson there. I'm telling you the truth. I don't leave my house and try to get people saved. I don't do it. I never say to my wife, honey, I'm going to go to the abortion clinic today and I'm going to try to get people saved. I never ever say that. Honey, I'm going to go to the homosexual parade and I'm going to try to get people saved. Honey, I'm going to go stand on the corner and I'm going to try to go get people saved. No, I'm going to go throw some seeds out there and I'm going to figure out where the good soil is, and I'm going to try it and throw it in the good soil. I'll throw some in that bad soil, but there might be a chance, but probably not much chance. And since I don't have a lot of seed, I ain't going to waste it throwing it in those rocks, and I'm going to waste it throwing it over there. I'm going to find some good place that's fruit, and I'm going to throw it there. And this idea that we're all going to go out and get everybody saved. Wake up, dude. Wake up. Be careful with the Lord's seed. Be careful with it. Come on in, Rochelle and Reggie. Golly, we're about done here. Go ahead. It's been good today. Can't hear you, Rochelle. Maybe I don't know what it is.
Good morning.
Good
morning, team. Sorry. So I'm confused on that. I wouldn't have any idea how to know one soil from the other. I would have no idea. And then, cause you don't know their life story. You don't know who's ready to receive it. You don't know. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing with you were reading where he said you will bring back some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And that's always been a Bible question in mind. I don't know
Rochelle,
why does it go down? Why do you get less? Do you think maybe towards the end of, as you get later on in time, the timeline that,
I don't think that's what he's saying. I'm thinking that's not what he's saying. He said it's not going to have the impact on everybody. It's not going to have the same impact. But I can tell you this. Anybody want to argue with me? I was 100-fold. Whoever planted that seed in me, baby, that was 100-fold return. Y'all agree with that? That's somebody got some money out of that seed. The Lord got some. He got some out of that. Some people got 60-fold. I mean, they're still valuable to the kingdom. Some are 30-fold. In other words, he's telling us the impact isn't always going to be the same. It's not always going to be the same because some things grow in more fertile ground. Who knows? Who knows why? I got to get Larry in here because I know Larry's got something to say about it. Go ahead, Larry, then Reggie.
Yeah, Rochelle, you know, it's one of the most difficult things to do is to figure out what that business about where to sow the seed is. And it doesn't lie in us looking at the ground to try to figure out what the ground looks like, where we might possibly sow seed. It falls back on listening to the Holy Spirit and letting him tell you where to throw the seed, whether you think it's the right place or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most difficult thing in my life, is learning to hear and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's so easy, but those times are rare.
Yes, sir.
Amen, Larry.
You're not responsible for the fruit. You're responsible for the sowing of it. Reggie, then Janine. Go, Reggie.
So I was going to piggyback off of Larry. You know, that's exactly sort of what I was going to say, is the Holy Spirit lets you know, because like my portion of the vineyard that I have to work, I don't go out and evangelize, because I always hear the Lord saying, come unto me, let the children, or follow me to, you know, drop what you're doing and follow me. So I always saw Jesus with his disciples, and people kind of just followed him. And that's when they heard, because it's a calling of the Holy Spirit, even within those people. It calls them to the word, and you might be that person. So I don't go seeking out people to preach the gospel to. I wait. Nope.
I sow and water. Janine, I sow and water. Go, Janine.
Okay. I think the key here is it says the seed was sown. That's the word of God. And then it says the fowls of the air. The Bible talks about dirty birds, which are preachers. Mm-hmm. Those are the dirty bird preachers. It's in the key here. It says in verse 9, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Are you going to hear the dirty bird preachers putting that foul seed in your ground? Or are you going to let it bring forth fruit? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what it's talking about. I believe
they're the
hirelings, the preachers. Are you going to listen to them? Or are you going to listen to the word of God that was sown in your heart? Go back to the word of God and use that as your plumb line always. Otherwise, it's going to bring up thorns because of what you think. It's like yesterday at my daughter's. Her boyfriend doesn't believe in the Lord. And I wasn't there to preach, but then he found out that his father isn't his real father. Well, that opened the door for me. And so I said, you know, you have a father, the greatest father that could love you more than anyone. And I told him it's Heavenly Father. And he goes, well, I don't believe it. I said, just because you don't believe it doesn't make it true. I said, truth is the Lord. So it's how you hear it. Are you going to let someone else make that decision for you on what the word says? Or are you going to let the word that was sown from the Lord in your heart bear fruit?
He who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday morning.